when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, out of our intense longing, we made effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and your efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to see you. My name's Steve. Please join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for this letter written to the Thessalonians. Not just the word of man, but this is your word, the word of God. So help us now as we keep looking at it. We pray that you would teach us and you would change us so that we would be the people that you call us to be. Amen. Well, I hope you still have 1 Thessalonians open. And if you don't, I'd love you to reopen it or grab a Bible or open up your phones so that you can keep looking at this passage. If you look at the inside of your church life, the title of the sermon is Christian Encouragement. But I've changed that. Spending time reading it this week and thinking through these verses, I thought that was a little bit weak. Encourage, we use that word a lot. It's a good word. Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So encourage, that's good. I just thought a little bit weak, maybe, or doesn't capture the essence, doesn't capture the heart of what is going on in these verses. As Andrew read it there, did you hear the passion of Paul as he writes this? So, called it strengthened in the gospel. That's much stronger, isn't it? All right. My hope at the end of this sermon is that you will be strengthened in your faith. and that you will be keen to see others, those sitting next to you, also strengthened in their faith, if that is not already the case for you. Now, how has this passage worked in me this week? As I've spent time thinking and working on this, how has it chipped away at me and spoken to me? Well, the big thing that it's got me to do, it's got me praying more, and it's got me concerned more for how people are going, how they're really going as Christians. I'm happy to say that this week, and I don't say this to boast, but that this week, because of this passage, that it got me to pray for everyone at Stanhope by name. At the church Stanhope, not everyone in the suburb. That is not something that I've done in 1 week so far this year. But this passage has got me praying individually for each person about them and what is happening in their life. So I'm hoping tonight that as we keep looking at this for the next few minutes, that there'll be something here where God convicts you and gets you to think about something, and that it would change the way that you think or act. So I'm hoping that that will be the case for each one of us. Now, it's an intense passage, what Paul is saying here. The passion in his pen as he writes these words. So this is what I want us to see here, but also here. The passion to see other people strengthened in the gospel. I want to ask you, how passionate are you to see yourself strong in the Lord, strengthened in your own faith? And how passionate are you to see other people strengthened in the gospel, strengthened in their faith? Okay, so that's where we're headed. Now, our own intensity, passion, can come through at various times and in various ways. And maybe if you're here on Wednesday night watching the State of Origin, maybe that's where it comes to life for you as Jared Haynes scores that try. Maybe it's a social issue that you deeply believe in. Maybe as Robbie prayed before, the Sudanese woman who is now free. Or maybe you signed the petition this last week for Jordan, that he received that bravery award. Maybe for you, it's some injustice in the world, and that gets your blood boiling. Maybe it's your favorite TV show. For Paul, we see his passion is for other people, and particularly for their faith. He desperately wants to know, how are they going? How are they going in the Lord? People that he's met, he shared the gospel with them, shared his life with them. He's no longer with them. We saw that last week, and the week before, as we've been looking at this letter. He's been pulled away from these people. But he desperately wants to know, how are they going? They've received Christ, received the gospel, but now, sometime later, how are they going? Are they strong? Are they weak? That's what's important for Paul. His intensity, his passion, you can see it right throughout. But have a look at the start from verse 17, chapter 2. But brothers, sisters, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again. But Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. It's intense, isn't it? You can sense there his emotion, his passion for these people. And maybe, like, you can wonder, is it not over the top a little bit? But he hardly knew these people. Wasn't he only with them for a few weeks? And then he was forced out by other people who didn't like his message. But now he writes and he says to these people, the Thessalonians, "You are my hope, my joy, the crown in which I glory. You are our glory and joy." And you might be thinking, wait a minute, isn't that Christ? How can he speak about these people in these terms? But he is so concerned for them and how they are going in life in Christ that he speaks this way. That's how deep his passion is that others are strengthened in the gospel. How others are going, that's what is important to Paul. Well, how are you going? If you are a believer, how are you going? How is your relationship with God? Now, that's not always an easy question to answer, is it? But you might have a feeling how it is going, how close or distant you feel at the moment between you and God, how much you're talking, whether you're on speaking terms. Your prayer life could be an indicator of where things are at for you. Whether you're listening to him, whether you're reading his word and feeding upon his word. Do you know his constant grace in your life? Whatever is going on in your life at the moment, are you aware of his grace? That he is with you. That you are free. Your sins have been forgiven and now you are free not to earn anything for God, but just to live for him. For you, is there joy in knowing the Lord? Are you speaking about him to others? Are you happy to be giving your money to his work? You can get a feel for where you're at, for how you are going. Paul, he has an intense longing to know how these people are going. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. But we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless." I want to pick up two things there that Paul is particularly concerned about. Trials and temptations. How have they fared in trials and temptations? So firstly, trials. Don't be surprised when trials come. Right? We live in a fallen world. This world is broken. Things go wrong. Things are not as they are meant to be in this world. Paul says, you know quite well, you were destined for them. He says, when we were with you, we told you so. And as they know, Paul was persecuted. And he had to leave. He was forced to leave. And the trials that Paul speaks about here very much seem to do with being a Christian, being persecuted, which other Christians in other parts of the world know all too well, much more than we do here. The trials that we face, the tests of faith that come our way, seem to be more to do with just everyday life. When something goes wrong, a broken relationship, a health scare, perhaps the death of someone, or we're just consumed by life itself, and we're busy and we're flat out and we're exhausted, or we're struggling to understand what life is all about and where I fit in. In those times of trials, how will you fare? Will your faith, your love, your hope, will they be strong? Will you be unsettled by these trials? Or will it be your faith that will get you through? Because they're going to come. But if you are strong in the Lord, then I'm sure that for you it will be okay. Because we know that God is faithful. We've sung, God is able. So whatever trials are happening, God is faithful. Will we keep trusting? Are you facing a particular trial right now? Or you can look back recently to a trial you've come through. Maybe there are people who are not with us tonight because they are struggling, they are facing a trial, and it's just too much for them and they can't come. Can I encourage you, when things get tough, and as hard as it is to come and meet with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep doing it. Keep coming. Keep meeting, getting the support of one another, your church family here. Paul, he is deeply concerned with how others are going. He wants to know them. He wants them to be strengthened in their faith. The second thing, temptations. He says there, I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. Paul, he speaks about Satan in a very real way. And he wants to know, have they been tempted by the tempter? Well, of course they have. Of course they've been tempted, as we all have. But how have they fared? He just hopes that they haven't fallen into temptation, given in to the schemes and the ways of the devil. We are a fool to think that we are safe from the tempter's temptations. I am a fool to think that I am safe from the tempter's temptations. So if you are being tempted right now, don't be surprised. Right, that's his job, to tempt you. If you are being tempted right now, that's good, in that you know, you are aware of it. What is more dangerous is that you are being tempted and you're not even aware of it. So let me ask, do you know how Satan is tempting you at the moment? Maybe it's where you get your sense of worth. And that is something other than Christ. Maybe it's what others think of you. Is it by him putting in front of you something you need? He's telling you, you need this. And when you have this, then your life will be right. Well, let me tell you, it won't. Maybe it's saying, it's not that important if you go to church or your life group that you meet every week. Maybe he's saying, you don't need to read God's word. You know it. You go to church. Maybe it's social media. And maybe right now you've got Facebook open or that Clan Clash game or whatever it's called. Right? Isn't it great on our phones that we can have the Bible? Right, that's great, isn't it? But it can. There's other things here as well, and it can make noises, and we can be easily distracted. Maybe you've started tonight with the Bible open, but you've drifted. And the tempter, he's got you. And right now, maybe you don't have the Bible open. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's porn, where no one else is looking. But now you want more. We're all tempted. The thing is, do you know how he is tempting you? Because being aware of it, surely that is the first step to be able to do something about it. Paul desperately wants to know, how are they going? He wants them strengthened in their faith. And as this takes place, he is strengthened in his faith. You see, it goes both ways. Paul is passionate about their faith, and when he hears a good report about how they are going, then that encourages him in his faith. So see it from verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. His emotion, his passion, it just drips off the page, doesn't it? Last Sunday afternoon, I dropped into to Matt's place. He's a guy from the church at Stanhope. I was greatly encouraged by him. He's only been a Christian for about a year. Hearing how God is at work in his life. His mum was like dead set. She couldn't understand, like, when he became a Christian. He's a lawyer, and she just could not understand. What are you doing? A year on, she is so close to becoming a Christian herself, right? So encouraging, me, hearing how God is at work in his life. On Thursday morning, I had breakfast with Daniel, a Stanhope Daniel. And I hope in some way I encouraged him as we met, but I was encouraged by him, hearing how God is at work in his life. My hope for you, as you come to church, that you will be an encouragement to others. And as that happens, that you also will be encouraged yourself. That you will seek to strengthen others in their faith. And in return, you will be strengthened in your faith. Now, like, if that's not the case, we're doing something wrong, aren't we? Right? This is what we're about. Discipling, helping one another to know God, to live out the faith. Right, same with youth group, your life group. Now, as you go to youth life or your life group, as you go, that you will be an encouragement to others. You will strengthen them in their faith, or wherever they're at in their relationship with God. They mightn't even be a Christian yet. But as you go, you too will be encouraged. You will be strengthened in your faith. Our life groups, like, they're not just about studying the Bible. They are about meeting together, sharing our life, and working hard at understanding God's Word, and together are working out what that means, what it looks like in our life. And if we're doing this, that's a church you want to be a part of, isn't it? And if this is taking place, where each person is passionate about the other person and how they are going and how they can be strengthened in the faith, where they're genuinely concerned about how the other person is going, how they are really going. Just imagine for a moment if this marked Sunday night life, a deep passion to see other people strengthened in the gospel. Imagine if that was in the forefront of our thinking for each one of us. We came to church, not for ourselves, but to strengthen, to encourage one another. Is that us? Is that our church? It's at least a big part of our theme for the year. Each one, reach one. That is not just evangelism. That starts here. That starts like with the person sitting right next to you now. Each one, reach one. Strengthening one another in the gospel. A passion to see other people strengthened in the gospel. Just imagine our church, if that was the mindset of every person coming here to strengthen other people in the gospel. That's a place you'd want to be a part of, isn't it? Let me finish. Let me pray. And let me say the words that Paul wants for these Thessalonians. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Amen.